All right, let's bring up our next guest. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line if you have a question for our next guest. Alex Hare is one of the many super talented counselors at Optimum Joy Clinical Counseling, located on Jackson right here in Chicago. She works with adults struggling to find peace in their own minds and relationships, and that would be me, and she joins us now. Alex, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Doing well. Good to talk to you, Pete.
Boy, I want you to help us today. I want you to help people find peace. I want you to help us find happiness. And I want you to help us with relationships. No pressure.
Oh, wonderful. You know, just like a simple task, right?
Yes. We have a saying in our house. The McMurrays have a saying in their house. And it's a Bible verse. It's, "Be anxious for nothing," which is, I think, the Philippians. I think it's one of those verses, but be anxious for nothing, which means because we're always anxious and we're always in a hurry. And my wife hates hearing me say that. And I'm the one, I need to practice what I preach, but we're always in a hurry. How can you find peace if we're always rushing around?
Sure. And, you know, Pete, I think that honestly, that's a lot more difficult in today's age, just with a lot of different technology. And even I think living in a city like Chicago, there's just so much stimulation for our brains and our bodies that it's hard to actually rest. But, you know, I think that that's even interesting when you talk about relationships, because at the end of the day, I think sometimes a lot of conflict and trouble is when someone's partner or someone who's like really significant to them ends up becoming more of a threat than something that offers peace and comfort and all those different things. So we see that a lot. It's kind of that it can be like a cause of problems in a relationship.
What do you tell people about boundaries with phones or electronic devices?
Oh, gosh. I think the more you can actually enforce, the better. I mean, I have technology all over the place. I am always on my smartphone. But I think that especially when it comes to like relationship-specific time, the more people can actually put their, let's say, even just like phones or notifications away, the more it allows us to be present and actually like look each other in the eye and listen to what each other are saying and those different types of things.
And what do you think about people? I mean, we're all going through our phones late at night because we're checking emails, we're checking messages. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday, my producer Curtis and I are texting each other, you know, 100 times a day talking about today's show, but it just never stops. You have to put a stop to it. How do you get to that point? Because I bring it up to my wife. It's like, Sarah, we got to have a stopping point with electronics at night because we want to do that with our son, Charlie, who's 14. It's like, Charlie, you got to put this thing away. You
yeah,
do homework,
sure.
You hop in the shower, you got to go to bed. Because if you're staring at your phone, you're never, ever, ever going to let it down.
Yeah, truly. And, you know, I think that the first thing to consider is probably your 14-year-old son, Charlie, has different developmental needs than you as an adult. Like, you and your wife are trying to, like, make your life go, or you have this show that you produce today that's, like, it has to happen. So in some ways, it's like life still needs to work. But honestly, it's the most painful, I think, at the beginning, because I think that people are either there's boredom, they're afraid of silence, or maybe like what comes up inside of them when they don't have their phones. You gave an example of like, I need to do this for work.
Right.
But I see a lot of people who are, they're just avoiding silence and quietness in a way because the discomfort usually comes up emotionally.
I mean, think about how many times you're at the airport or you're waiting for a bus or at the train station where people are just flipping through Instagram. It's like they're robots. It's the weirdest thing. They just can't sit there in silence. They have to look and move, do something, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of ways to use technology to actually help us be, you know, in the therapy and counseling world, it's more the term mindfulness gets thrown around a lot. I mean, and it's anytime we can be more presently attuned to what's going on inside of us and what's going on in our environment, that's actually like a moment of mindfulness. So sometimes I tell people, you know, set a reminder on your phone that will automatically ding that just says, hey, 5 minutes, like look up and look around or what's going on in you. Or even there's like this 1 second a day app where you literally take a video for 1 second and it compiles it, you know, at the end of the year or whatever, just to remember really like simple, special moments that you actually tuned in.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I hear about people, you know, groups of people, they go to dinner and everybody puts their phone in a basket. That's never happened to me. And I've never seen that. And I feel like when you go out to dinner, people get on their phones right away, or they put their phone on the table just in case the president of the United States calls. They have to, I answer that. They can't even sit through appetizers. I have to have my phone right here. It's like their blanket. I mean, their security blanket.
You know, I wonder, that kind of makes me think that maybe a few things are going on for people. And I am, like, obviously I am biased towards being a counselor. I'm biased towards counseling and, like, self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, like, for people to maybe not be disillusioned that the if they don't look at their phone for an hour, that the world will fall apart. You know, that really, probably the president of the United States is not calling any of us anytime soon. So it kind of, I feel like it's grounded in control. Like, oh, I need to be in control in a moment. And if I'm not,
right,
and the president of the United States calls me, then, like, oh my gosh, that's the end of the world. I just think probably that's not going to happen to any one of us.
It's so funny. I just got back from Mexico, and I swear to you, this guy was at the pool, and he couldn't get on the Wi-Fi, and he started screaming.
Oh.
It's like, dude, just relax. Yeah. First of all, you're on vacation. You gotta break away from the electronics. But, you know, back in the day, we didn't have a phone to reach someone 24/7. Remember when you'd say, hey, I'm going to meet you at this point at this time. And if you're not there, then we'll meet an hour later over here.
Yep.
Those are your two takeaways. But get us to the point where we can find peace. How can people calm down? I know most of it's electronics, but it's also when we sit in bed at night, our head is racing, you know, our brains are racing. What do we do? How do we get there?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, we live in a culture that thinks that any type of anxiety and any type of depression, any type of discomfort is actually a bad thing. So we run away from it so often. And I think that before you even get into, like, practical to-dos around this is how you do or do not have peace, I think actually being accepting the fact that it's like, man, if I am anxious, maybe my brain, my body, maybe my internal world is actually trying to get me to tune into something and understand it so I can actually take care of it. And often I think people actually experience more transformation in life when they start to look at some of that discomfort. And I don't know if you had ever seen Inside Out. It's a profound little movie. I love that movie. It's an animated film.
Inside Out.
Yes, it's called Inside Out. It's a little animated film. I can't remember if it's Disney or Pixar, but basically, the premise is if you don't experience sadness, then you actually can't experience joy to its fullest capacity. So I think that the first thing, this kind of sounds counterintuitive, but to actually be more at peace or more joyful, you need to make space for some of the discomfort in life, because the more you can experience discomfort, you could actually, the more range of motion you have to experience things like peace and joy.
So what should we do? Should we look at ourselves and find out what is making us this way? And there's probably some sadness that we need to reveal.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of times, you know, people end up in my office or just even in conversations with friends and family. And it turns out that there's some type of symbolic or very real grief in someone's life. Kind of a real reason to be sad over. And I think sometimes leaning into it and, like, honoring that and actually, like, journaling about it or talking about it or even just acknowledging, hey, I am kind of sad right now, kind of ticks some of those boxes. It's not really brain science or anything. It's just kind of, like, make space for some of it, and then the other stuff will come, too.
Jim Valvano, who coached North Carolina State to a national championship, he has a great quote. It goes something like this. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. If you do that every single day, that's something special.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, so I'll go ahead.
Well, I feel like we all need to do that. And the fact that we're staring down at our phones, we are being emotionless.
Mm-hmm. You know, another big part of, you know, like I said, I'm obviously a big fan of self-knowledge, but I think that once we know what's going on in us, even if it's, let's say, peace and joy, maybe it's the positive end of the spectrum, I think that once that's experienced, we need to actually share that in relationship. And predominantly, I think we do that via technology today, and we need to get back a little bit more to how do we, with people that matter to us, how do we actually be known, whether it's like sadness or anxiety or joy or any of those things.
Right. Wow. I mean, having you on the show, there's just a million things that are flashing before me right now. I want to ask you about the apps that are out there, the meditation apps like Headspace and Calm. Do you like those? Do you encourage those?
Yeah. I mean, I do encourage those. I really, you know, very often I like to have conversations with people about let's find something that works for you. And the greatest thing about something like Calm is it's accessible. You know, the technology is right on your phone, and they have a lot of different options on there. Sometimes in our office, and this is something people, I think if you just get on YouTube and honestly Google 5-minute mindfulness meditation or, you know, 5-minute meditation for anxiety or something like that, it will bring up some type of audio. But usually a lot of therapists, we actually will do that in the counseling room and teach people like how to integrate that in their life. And sometimes we'll even like record our own voice leading somebody through, you know, something that they can take with them.
Oh, wow.
You know,
yeah.
In the week. Yeah.
That's a great idea. We're talking with Alex Hare. She is a counselor at Optimum Joy Clinical Counseling. Is there a website people can go to find you?
Absolutely. It's optimumjoyclinicalcounseling.com.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Yeah.
I tried to meditate, and that was one of my resolutions for 2019 because I pulled out my list from last year, and I tried. And then I figured out, I used to beat myself up over this, and then I figured out, okay, if I can't sit and listen to the app, what makes me happy? And
sure. When
I go out on a Saturday morning and I'm mowing the lawn or doing lawn work, it's quiet. My brain feels good, or if I go out for a run or if I'm working out, listening to music that makes me happy, that's a form of meditation.
It is, absolutely. So, Pete, let me ask you this, is what ways do you think, what ways are you creative in life? And I very broadly define creative. It can be like artistic, it can be writing, it can be moving your body, you know, but I'm curious for you, what ways you would find yourself being creative.
If I don't work out regularly, I get super crabby and depressed, terribly depressed. And if I don't have human interaction, I get energized when I see other people, and I get energized when I am around crowds of people. And here's the problem. My wife is the complete opposite. So I get energized going to parties and hanging out, and my wife likes to be a homebody and just kind of hang out with the family.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I feel like maybe you and your wife, like, it's going to obviously be very different things that work for you and your wife.
Right.
Because there's like a technical, basically arena of meditation. You know, it's a lot of breathing. It's a lot of, like being still. But I think that, you know, in a very non-technical way, the way you engage with like sports and people in social environments is a way to be present. Now, all those things can be bad coping mechanisms as well, but if they're helping you feel more lively and engaged and present in your life, then it's like, that's gold.
Yeah. It's all about being present, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Alex, I'm going to have you hold on. And when we come back, we're going to talk about marriage and relationships and how to better those. And I've been married 19 years. I start to laugh right now because I just got back from a trip with 7 guys in Mexico. And I said, guys, I'm having this counselor on Sunday. What questions do you have for her? And the number one question that came up, I'm going to share with you next, okay?
Wonderful. I'll hold tight.
Alex Hare, she is a counselor. If you have a question, 312-981-7200 from OptimumJoyClinicalCounseling.com. There's Chicago and they're real. Watch the WGN-TV morning news team weekdays from 4 until 10. I'm Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our phone number here, also our text line, is 312-981-7200. On the phone with us is Counselor Alex Hare from Optimum Joy Clinical Counseling. I wanted to talk about relationships and being married. I just got back from a trip with 7 guys. They've been married anywhere from 15 to 24 years. The number one question that they had for you is how to connect with their spouse, because we all have kids. We're all busy, both working parents. What do we do?
Yeah, no, that's, I think, it ends up being the biggest question for a lot of couples is, I feel disconnected. How do I get back to, feeling, I think you nailed it with the word connected with my spouse or my partner. You know, I think first of all, is evaluating what stage of life you and your partner are in. Because if you're, you know, have five kids running around and, you know, one or both of you are working pretty demanding jobs, that is a different stage of life than dating and even like newlyweds. So I think a lot of times having like a some type of conversation with where are we, where, how is it different than where we used to be as a way to connect. But I also think that people change over time. So
right.
I would imagine that maybe Pete, you and your wife are different today than you were. I can't remember how many years you said, 9 years?
19 years, yes.
Yeah, that's quite a few more than 9 years. But it's like you and your wife, I would imagine, are in a lot of ways the same, but very different people. And I think, you know, there's a book I really recommend to a lot of couples. It's called The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work by, I believe it's John Gottman. But there's a lot of different chapters in there about, man, we, like, there's a lot of different exercises and conversation starters and just different things like that around how do we relearn who we are now and what's working or not working for us. So the biggest thing is probably carving out the space and just being curious again about who each other is.
How do you become curious again after 15, 20, 25 years?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, there's something, it's called, I think that what's called like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, honestly. There's kind of like some four things that it's like, ooh, this is not, this is kind of a yellow to a red light sign for a marriage. And there's things like criticism, I believe it's contempt and defensiveness, and then like stonewalling or shutting down. I think honestly asking if any of those things are a part of your long-term relationship, because those are indicators of maybe a like resentment, or instead of, you know, thinking that your wife is just nagging you, that she's a nag, that's who she is at her core.
Right.
So it's hard to be curious when you're defensive against the person who's supposed to be the most important in your life.
Right.
So if any of that is going on, I think getting really real about the fact that that's where you're starting from. But I think the biggest thing is just to start to watch and to listen, to use all five of your senses, so like seeing, hearing, smell, taste, touch, all those different things, to start getting curious about the other person again.
Really? I mean, there's people listening that have been married 20, 25 years. I mean, there's a lot of resentment with married couples. And how do you not keep score? Because I feel like as you get older, everybody's keeping score. Well, I did this, now you have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, hurt is actually a really complex emotion. It's not just sadness. It's not just anger. It's actually like a whole slew of things. So starting to piece out, well, what's, again, kind of what's really going on here? And then, you know, so much of marriage counseling will say you have to just communicate better, but I don't think that communication really heals resentment. It's more about going down to, man, when you do this, it makes me afraid that I'm not good enough, or it makes me feel like maybe you're going to abandon me. People have to go to actually that softer, deeper emotional part.
Really?
Because being emotionally vulnerable really actually increases the fact that you, like, you'll have a vitality to your relationship. And if it's truly an unsafe person, you're going to see pretty quickly that they're not safe to be with. And it's probably time for you to evaluate some of that too.
How do you get to that point where you're brutally honest? Because most of us are afraid to say anything. How do we get there?
Yeah. You know, there's also a really good book. You know, part of me was thinking, man, if it comes up, I would love to leave your listeners with some resources, but there's a book, it's called Hold Me Tight by Dr. Sue Johnson. And her whole work, which is actually really, it's having a moment right now. She's really helping out a lot of couples, but it's about how do we actually go to emotion instead of getting caught up in this, well, I chase you and then you withdraw, and we just get in this cycle where we can't actually just stop and be together.
Right.
So she has a lot of different conversations in that book that help people actually get to some of that.
So The 7 Principles of Making Marriage Work and Hold Me Tight, two great books.
Correct.
That are the takeaways.
Two great books.
Alex, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate your insight and your knowledge.
Not a problem. It was enjoyable. Thanks a lot, Pete.
All right. You can go to OptimumJoyClinicalCounseling.com.